Thank you, Gordon. Okay, here we go. So as Gordon said, although this was a cooperative agreement, this was a very innovative way to do a cooperative agreement where all four of the funded studies got to actually do the study that they wrote in the grant. And my study was using text messaging as a brief intervention to reduce high-risk drug and sexual behaviors with methamphetamine using MSM. And I'd like to thank the colleagues who worked with me on the study, in addition to the CDC staff that Gordon mentioned. Deborah Ling was the project director, Steve Shoptaw was my co-investigator, and Jane Rohde was our partner with the county. As Gordon said, and I'm not going to reiterate everything he said, was that there is the association of high-risk behavior with methamphetamine use, which leads to HIV infection, and in Los Angeles, it's a real problem. We have the second most impacted jurisdiction for HIV/AIDS in the United States. We have 60,000 persons living with HIV and an estimated additional 13,000 with undiagnosed HIV. And the transmission rate is high, the meth use is very high within MSM, and so we really, because 79% of the persons living with HIV in Los Angeles are MSM or MSMW or MSM IDUs, and because there is such a high rate of meth use within MSM in Los Angeles County, we really are looking at innovative ways to reach this population. So the purpose of this study was to have a brief two-week IT communication intervention that was to be conducted in real time, that we're communicating with people when they're in either a high-risk situation or they're asking for help and they're getting immediate response. The goal was to impact at least one meth-using episode, at least one sexual episode, and to provide culturally appropriate referrals to the population. Part of the aims was to conduct a formative work. We had never done an IT communication intervention before, so we had to develop the intervention. We had to find the appropriate software and the device, and we had to really assess whether this was feasible in our target population. And then finally, our outcome, we wanted to measure whether or not there was a dose response association between the level of text messages and the behavioral change. Study design was rather simple because it was a single arm open label study where we recruit. There was a phone pre-screen, and they came in within a couple of days. If they passed they were eligible based on the phone screen. They came in for their baseline, which was, again, the same assessment for all four sites. $25 for the baseline, a CASI, then the quick two-week intervention. They would leave with the phone. We gave them a second or third generation T-Mobile Sidekick, and they came and they got the phone after they did the ACASI. We set it up, and the phone had referrals all downloaded on it, and they left. And within a half an hour of leaving, we would send them a welcome message. The study was called Project Tech Support. The welcome message would be, you know, welcome to Project Tech Support. We're glad you joined. Do you have any questions? And that would begin the two-week intervention. And then the follow-up was 2 months post the completion of the two-week intervention. Gordon already discussed the eligibility criteria. The yellow font is what's unique to our interventions, is they had to be willing to participate in the intervention. We recruited, enrolled 52 out-of-treatment MSM meth users between October 2008 and May 2009. We completed our follow-up assessments by August 2009. Two participants were withdrawn from the study. We had 96% follow-up rate and pretty standard statistics. I'm just going to say a bit on the formative stage before I get to the outcome. either, because it actually took a while to get through the formative stage, and we had to do a lot that, you know, was just, as I said, very unique to us. We stayed very much embedded in the community, where we did focus groups and we had a lot of community partners. So in addition to the focus group, we had three focus groups with meth users. We collaborated with community partners from different social service agencies around Los Angeles who worked with MSM meth users and had these community meetings. We had to come up with pre-written text messages to be able to evaluate the intervention. And then we pre-tested this with five participants who were part of the pre-intervention. So basically, all of the intervention, all of the text messages were based on a theoretical paradigm, and we wanted to, what we're planning to is evaluate the response to the text messages by the theoretical perspective of the message. And these are just samples of some of the 400 text messages that we had. There's no such thing as a good SOAR. Let me find the STD one, since this is the clinic here. This is the conference we're at. Got an STD, use InfoLine to inform partners. Got questions, need help. You can hook up with the 411 you need. Do you have the correct info on STDs? Call with questions for the health belief model. Let's see, I'm trying to find the ones that are specific. Get his number, not his STD. And for social cognitive theory, don't let Tina take you down, Tina meaning Crystal. My favorite of all of the 400 messages is the one on the bottom. Sharon Needles, she's bad news. I kind of like the play on words. And also because I went to high school in the 60s, and Sharon Needles just sounds like somebody I would have gone to high school with. Okay, so then we go into the pilot intervention. So we enrolled 52 individuals, and they were pretty much ethnically diverse. Although 60% were HIV infected, the mean age was 36 years. We had almost 40% employed full-time. And this is interesting because I also do a lot of studies with treatment-seeking guys, and the treatment-seeking guys are a little bit older, tend not to be employed full-time, and tend to have a lower educational attainment and a lower SES. So these guys, they were out of treatment meth users, and many of them were still working and were, you know, had homes and were still bringing in an income. So when we look at alcohol and drug use in the previous 2 months, we find that there were reductions, and there were significant reductions, particularly for meth use and for poppers and nitrate, and we're really happy to see that. Again, this was a brief intervention, just 2 weeks of texting back and forth, and to be able to find significant reductions in the two drugs that are used with sex made us happy. When we look at positive urinalysis, we see that pretty much the direction for every drug it has gone down, and the number of all negative drugs on all the tests went up slightly. And this is positive for two or more drugs on the urinalysis. Again, a lot of slight reductions, but nothing significant here. But this is the urinalysis that's based on what's in your system on that particular day. With methamphetamine, you're looking at 72 hours. For THC, you're looking at approximately 1 week, and it's not based on self-report on the previous 2 months. Fewer individuals stated that they injected at follow-up, and fewer individuals stated that they used meth within, they used any drug within 2 months of anal sex with their primary partner. This is specifically with the primary partner. The significant finding here is with THC, with marijuana, which I always find it interesting when there's any reduction of THC use in California, of marijuana, where you can just walk down the street and go to your local dispensary and buy it. stopped meth use in the previous 2 months. I found this really interesting. We saw significant findings of individuals who had stopped meth use in the previous 2 months, and most of those had stopped within 1 or 2 months, and this was at the 2 month follow-up of our brief intervention. Sex with a primary male partner while on drugs also reduced, not significant findings, but again, with this type of intervention, we're really happy to see the trend go in the direction we want it to go in. Same with anal intercourse, whether it was insertive or receptive within the previous 2 months. There was a significant finding in the mean number of male sexual partners. And STDs also slightly decreased in the previous 2 months. So our conclusions, basically, we did find that this type of intervention of using a text messaging intervention was safe, it was feasible, it was acceptable. The guys liked it. They got to keep their cell phone that we gave them. They were, after 2 months, they were responsible for the charges, but they got the device. We did find the significant reductions in the areas that we wanted to find them. The outcomes were consistent with the theoretical perspectives that we were using to drive the intervention. Thus, we were looking for reductions rather than complete abstinence. And what our next steps are is we need to really begin looking at doing a qualitative analysis of the text messages, do a more thorough data analysis of the follow-up baseline and follow-up study. We need to see how to the associations between the theoretical messages and the reductions, and then hopefully the next step would be to write a grant for the larger efficacy trial. And that's it. Let's see about. Okay. And Elwin is going to speak next. I think we were going to do questions at the end.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and do some questions, and could you repeat
the question? Oh, we are going to do questions?
Just to, so it's recorded.
Okay. I'm sorry. I thought we were doing questions at the end.
5 minutes.
All right.
Can you give a little bit more information about how you used that list of text messaging?
Yeah.
Was there any individual interaction back and forth where a person was...
Absolutely. We put a lot of time into that. As I said, we developed 400 pre-written text messages. We also had conversations that were extemporaneous based on what the individual needed, but to be able to evaluate based on the theories, we needed to have these pre-written text messages. They were all developed by members of the target population. So we developed the messages. We had messages for HIV-infected guys, for HIV-uninfected guys, for younger guys, for older guys, for guys that went out to bathhouses, for guys who hooked up online. And these text messages were all sorted out on an Excel spreadsheet based on the profiles of the individual. And the staff that did the text messaging came into our site. They had all of this on the computer, and they were able to pick up the messages based on the conversation. And we wanted there to be a fair amount of pre-written text messages in the conversations. One of the things that we found, which is, you know, very important to us, is through the pilot or the pre-intervention, and also when we did just a little qualitative feedback with the participants, they could not tell which messages were pre-written and which messages were not. But yes, there was one grid that showed the messages by their theoretical perspective. Didn't pay a lot of attention to that one, but the one that was divided by different participant characteristics, they spent a lot of time with drawing them, and they were able to just click them on, and it would send that message. Other questions? Yes, Dr. Landowitz.
Can you tell us a little bit about whether it required the participants to initiate a conversation with staff, or did staff initiate conversations, and were there different profiles of the participants in terms of age group or education that suggested?
We haven't done the analysis yet to really fine tune who we got a lot of the responses from. That's our next step. But we had it was written in the protocol. We had a very specific protocol on how many messages per day the staff could initiate and how often they could initiate. One is so we could evaluate the intervention and you're not constantly initiating a conversation with one person but not the other. But also, we didn't want to really bug these people. And then it decreased. If we did not hear from a participant over a couple of days, the level of initiating, staff-initiated messages decreased, till we got to the end of the two-week intervention. But then at the end of the two-week intervention, then if some we hadn't started, we would start initiating the follow-up messages that were also pre-written that would tell people to come in for follow-ups. Yes.
Yeah. These participants were they started out at a baseline of like $25, and I noticed that $50 was that after they finished the 2 weeks, did they get a $50?
No, that was when they came back after 2 months for their follow-up assessment.
The ones that were HIV positive, were those strictly out of treatment patients that were out of treatment, no medical care?
Oh no! It was they were just out of treatment for methamphetamine abuse.
Okay.
That was a eligibility criteria among all four sites. They could be in treatment for HIV care. They could be in mental health treatment. They could have an ongoing psychologist or see a mental health professional. It's just not in treatment for meth abuse. Okay. Elwin.